Nation meets the law.
WMNF 88.52.
First of all, that what you are doing is monumental. And this is not easy. And you all are literally, with this show, you have literally created something out of nothing. And everybody can't do that. What I think is so unique about you all is that when I'm listening to you all, because there are things that I don't know about your world, you all have a wholly different kind of conversation. You have no ideas what your conversation feels like to my ears. It's so different. Because I don't have the opportunity and hear how you guys philosophize about reality. This is the only place that I get that in my entire life. What you do is significant because I'm not alone in it. A whole lot of folk over 40 years of age don't have that experience. Their kids are out of the house and grown. When I think of you all as giving us a perspective on popular culture. Not just what's happening, because Entertainment Tonight will tell us what's happening, but you are also giving us perspective on how it impacts real people's lives. And that's the qualitative difference in what you're doing.
You're about to listen to the Urban Cafe.
Buenos días, Tampa Bay. Good morning, good morning. You're listening to the Urban Cafe on WMNF 88.5.
Good morning, Tampa. This is Claire in the house.
And we got Coach Don here.
Don Scott in the building.
And we got a special guest.
Big Eddie G. Coming right at you.
The listen, Soul Kitchen.
Listen to that voice, man.
You know, you hear that?
I love that voice.
He just put us all out of business.
You right? Y'all ain't got nothing to worry about, I promise you.
So, Big Eddie's our special guest today. Also, we got our guest co-host, Don Scott, in the house. Thank you, Big Eddie, and thank you, Don, both for being here today. We got a good show planned here. We're going to be interviewing Eddie towards the end of the show. He has another show called Soul Kitchen on WMNF on Mondays from 8 to 10. And so just a phenomenal show.
That's in the p.m.
In the p.m., yes, correct. And then did I say in the morning?
No, you didn't say.
No, you said p.m., I think.
Yeah, yeah.
No, 8 to 10.
8 to 10 p.m. All right, we're good. And so... yeah, but we're going to be interviewing Eddie. He's trying to find out a little bit about who is Big Eddie, right? And so
he's awesome.
And his show is phenomenal. It's literally food. It's music for the soul. And so I love it. And so we're going to do some quick takes, and then we're going to get into... We want all our listeners to participate today because everybody, the tryptophan must have worn out by now. And so you should be up and at it, cutting your grass, doing something, getting ready for church. And
is
so
there a game today?
There's tons
absolutely.
Of games.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know my Bucks are going to play today.
Coach John is like, absolutely.
We give 5 minutes to the games, okay, at least.
I'll give a shout-out to my Buckeyes in a bit. And so...
oh, man.
Don't go crazy, Don.
Don't go crazy. So the reason I'm giving a shout out to our listeners, we want our listeners to call us at 813-239-9663 because we are going to be talking about what you are thankful for, right? So in this era of hyper partisanship, of a social, cultural, economic divide, let's talk about what brings us together and what are we thankful for over this Thanksgiving period here. I also will, you know, I do need to talk a little bit objectively about something called the National Day of Mourning, which I'll get to in a little bit, because there's always more than one side to every story, right? And so we really need to hear about it from the Native American experience side. And so with that being said, I know, Don, you had a quick take regarding something that came up on your Facebook feed, which I couldn't believe until I saw it myself.
Yeah.
Why don't you, what's that about?
You know, Josh, that's a good question because I don't know what it's about either.
Gotcha.
You know? The head of the Republican Party in Hillsborough County decided that he was going to put a comment out with the background of, I think, four nooses hanging in the back. And what does it say? Noose flash. Treason still punishable by death.
And so I didn't believe it.
I guess my question is, Josh and everybody here, like, why the nooses? If death is punishable by treason, couldn't you put up a gun?
You mean treason punishable by death?
Treason punishable by death, excuse me. Couldn't you put up any type of...
You could use any other weapon.
You could use an electric chair.
AK-47, you know.
Or why use the imagery at all?
Why use the imagery of a
noose?
I think
that's the larger question. Why even use imagery?
And I think that's the part that That concerns me.
So Dom brought this up in our pre-production, and I was like, I don't believe it. This has to be fake. And sure enough, he shows me it's actually on this gentleman's Facebook feed. Again,
now, we're not trying to promote this posting, really. We don't want more people to look at it because we'd like it taken down.
We'll see. I mean, I don't know.
We'll see if Facebook or whoever.
Well,
runs
Facebook.
It.
Mark Zuckerberg has clearly stated that he is not in the business of determining what's true, what's not true.
Yeah.
It's unlike Twitter. Twitter is actually, you know, they, for example, the person running against Representative Omar in Minnesota. She's been spreading all these false rumors, and she even threatened Omar with death in no uncertain terms. And her Twitter account was closed as a result.
Good.
But yeah, I just saw that today.
Representatives in our midst.
We do. And she had like three separate Twitter accounts for her campaign, her personal one, whatever.
Well, I do
they
too,
were all
but
closed.
That's only because I don't know how to do it. three of them.
And so, but what I'm getting at is that Twitter has a policy about stuff like that. Facebook has taken the other road. We're like, freedom of speech.
Yeah.
You do whatever, right? And now we have this.
So I'll also bring this part up. I've reached out to a couple of people that are in media about this, and I won't mention any names, but one person's reply to me was it's inflammatory, but it's not specific enough.
Correct. Correct.
But that's a strong image. It, let me tell you, people, it was a black background with nooses hanging in front of it. This is the 20, what are we in the 21st century? Are we
21st?
What the heck?
Yeah. It's a to Big Eddie's point, like the imagery alone, right? Like, why even have the imagery? I get it, you know, the conservatives, the Republican Party, you know, they're feeling assailed probably because of the impeachment inquiry and everything else that's going on, right? And so some of them are attacking Adam Schiff, the House Intelligence Committee chairman. You know, they feel like he's committed treason for false reasons, apparently, but that they haven't been able to prove. So I get it. I understand the inflammatory reasons, but I don't understand why they had to specifically do that. And I'm not going to harp on it anymore, but I just wanted to mention it real quick because it did happen right here in our county.
And to Claire's point, you know, if it wears an electric chair, that's kind of universal.
Yeah.
When you put nooses up, you're going after a certain demographic.
Yes, you are.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you look at it, how many people were, executed that way?
Right.
Yeah. And who, what?
Now,
what group
I'm going to add something to that. Now, if you did this in Northern California, it'd be like, oh, that's stupid. But here in Florida, the South, that imagery is just too raw.
Yes.
Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Claire, well,
Claire. Yeah.
Let me piggyback off of you, Claire, because I'm originally from California. I didn't grow up in the Bay Area up there, but I know the Bay Area was the epicenter of activism.
Yes.
It was.
So
actually, they had a tar and feathering. Petaluma went into Santa Rosa and tarred and feathered somebody during the Civil War.
That's what I'm saying. So I wouldn't sleep on them. I think it's not that's like true. The South, but I think they would have viewed it the same way. Like, what's with the nooses? Was that really a necessity?
It's over.
So, and what's the commissioner's, the representative's name? Or the gentleman's name, I should say.
I don't want to mention the guy's
name. All right,
name.
So we won't mention his name.
I think that just gives too much
credence.
Good.
Yeah.
You know. Thank you.
So
I will say he is the chairman of the Republican Party of Hillsborough County.
With bad taste. I'm sorry. I'm not opposed. We are our team here is, middle of the road. We really are. We try to bring in everybody, and we want everybody to call us, and we want to reach out to everybody. But there, if the Democrat Party did this, we would be on the same track.
100%.
Only thing is, they wouldn't have done it.
No, they would have asked for the chairman of the Democratic Party's head.
Yeah.
They would have asked her to resign.
Yes, exactly.
You know? But so, because Florida is under Republican control.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of like, the whole Trump thing.
And if you want to join the conversation, 813-239-9663. And then so one from one inflammatory thing to another inflammatory story. And I apologize. I just trying to report the facts here. Right. And so and again, local. Right. So Sarasota now. Right. So the Sarasota City Commission. commission candidate Martin Hyde appears to have been banned from the Sarasota Bath and Racquet Club after a confrontation with some young Puerto Rican tennis players who allege Hyde made a racist comment. I must note that Hyde adamantly denies he made the comment or did anything racist. And he says, and this is a quote from Hyde, "I didn't say anything that's racist. There's absolutely no evidence or truth whatsoever." There was a tournament going on, and these players from Puerto Rico were there. The allegation stems from a confrontation last Tuesday at the club, when a video showing someone or multiple people confronting Hyde about the alleged comment that was posted on Twitter. The person filming the video is a 15-year-old Puerto Rican junior tennis player, according to his uncle. And so I had a chance to see the video for the first time last night, and in the video, Hyde, I have to say, did not say anything racist in the video. He wasn't recorded saying anything racist. However, the young Puerto Rican player who's recording this video quotes what he says Hyde had said before the recording started, which was, "Go cut some grass," right? Because Hyde was apparently upset at these young players because they were being very loud, or apparently, and so he's, and then in the confrontation he says, "Go cut some grass." Again, this wasn't recorded, but that's what he allegedly said. So when the Puerto Rican player, when the kid basically confronts him with what he said, he says, "So what?" So almost in reference, he acknowledges the fact that he did say it on the video, although in an interview with the Sarasota Herald Tribune, he denies that his "so what" comment had anything to do with an acknowledgement, of as they typically do. So all this happened literally this past week. It was an uproar in the local Puerto Rican news media against another example of potential racism against the Hispanic community. And then Mr. Hyde actually stepped down from his candidacy to the Sarasota County Commission.
I wonder why.
Because he was innocent. And so...
I didn't say anything, but I'm going to leave right now.
Yeah. So he left... he also left the Bath and Rec Club. He's not a member there anymore, apparently. And he stepped down as a candidate.
So that means someone heard him.
Potentially, yeah.
Yeah.
That means someone... If you had to leave the club, that means someone inside that club heard you.
Yeah. And not only that, did he voluntarily leave, or did somebody ask him politely?
I don't have those details, and so, but I just know, you know, what I stated
but
there.
But that, from, you know, I'd like to just point out that that's what needs to happen. This is an example of when people are verbally misbehaving that way and showing their discrimination, something should happen. We should call them. Now, I'm not going to go and correct a parent who's disciplining their child in the store, because that's not my business. But if somebody's saying something to somebody else, they're not related and they're doing this.
You know what's funny? I just had a conversation with my neighbor, Gary. Shout out, Gary. I know you're listening.
Shout out, Gary.
But it was about people that are feeling emboldened with racism and feeling the need to speak up. And, you know, he told me, you know, he'd want them to be quiet. And I was like, no, I want these racists. I want to know who you are.
Flush
want
them out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to see you. Like, I want to see you express that, because now the ball is in my court.
I know who you are.
Now I could choose to work with you, or I could choose to ignore you, or like let it be my choice, instead of it being like, I wonder if this guy is racist or not. Am I being treated differently because of racism? No, I want to know up front who's racist or not, and let me do what I got to do.
That's how it should be. And then, you know, before the fact, before you vote for them,
there you go.
Yeah.
Who they are, instead of finding out later that they are this way.
I've been hoodwinked, bamboozled.
I've voted for the wrong thing sometimes. I hate when that happens.
Yeah. To be fair, we really don't know how these politicians are until way down the line.
Isn't that true?
Let's be real. Some of them we do know out front. I know we could all attest to that, but a lot of times... There's certain tendencies that come up, that creep up, and that's what, you know, social media has been doing over the last few
those
years.
Those Twitters, those tweets.
Exactly.
Back in 2010.
What's the governor of Virginia that...
The blackface.
Exactly.
Northam, I think.
Northam, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And so, yeah, and that was a picture that was taken in the 70s that eventually you made it to social media in the 20s, in the 10s, in the 00s, right? And so I am kind of anti-social media. I don't have a Facebook account, but those are good things that have come from the social media movement, and in my opinion, right? Mm-hmm. And so and to wrap up the Hyde story, again, a Sarasota County Commissioner candidate stepping down from his candidacy for allegedly having said racist comments at his local racket club in Sarasota, and he sent an email to the Herald Tribune. It's impossible to unring a bell or to believe a narrative that is untrue. I hold myself to a higher standard, though, than engaging with noisy teenagers in public places. And it is for this failing, and this failing alone, that I've decided to stand down from public life. And so, again, he denies having said any comments or anything like that. So we're going to jump to our first break. And when we come back, we're going to jump to a more positive line here and talk about Thanksgiving.
We're so thankful.
Yeah, why are we thankful for Thanksgiving? And I'm interested to hear about some of our family traditions and how all that plays into account. So you listen to the Urban Cafe on WMNF 88.5. Nope, sorry, one moment.
Vanessa Collier, WMNF and the Suncoast Blues Society are bringing exciting blues, funk, and soul saxophonist, singer, and songwriter Vanessa Collier for a holiday party December 13th at Skipper's. The Holiday Party features Vanessa Collier with the legendary JC's opening. It's all at Skipper's, and we'll be collecting toys for tots.
On March 28, 2012, WMNF was granted a license by the Federal Communications Commission to serve the public interest as a public trustee until February 1, 2020. Our license will expire on February 1st, 2020. We must file an application for license renewal with the FCC by October 1st, 2019. When filed, a copy of this application will be available for public inspection in the station's online public file at www.fcc.gov. It contains information concerning the station's performance during the current license term. Individuals who wish to advise the FCC of facts related to our renewal application and to whether the station has operated in the public interest should file comments and petitions with the Commission by January 2nd, 2020. Further information concerning the Commission's broadcast license renewal process is available at 1210 East Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, Tampa, Florida, 33603, or may be obtained from the FCC, Washington, D.C., 20554, or at www.fcc.gov.
Hi, this is Chuck Core Jr., host of Flashback Friday. Join me and the lovely Renee every Friday from 10 p.m. to midnight. Hear the best in Southern Soul, R&B, and blues. WMNF Tampa, the right station on the left-hand side of your dial. 88.5 FM. Hear my voice. It's your choice. Let me put it in you or put it on you.
Welcome back.
All right. Good morning. You listen to the Urban Cafe on WMNF 88.5. Thank you so much for tuning in this morning. We're going to now talk about why we are thankful for Thanksgiving, maybe even toss out some family traditions, maybe even some recipes out there. And I know DJ Grand Gru walked in, graced us with his presence.
Yeah, what's up, y'all? I was listening to you on the way in, and I say one thing. This show will never go off the air because there are too many people out there who are using poor judgment for us to talk about.
Right.
He's not wrong.
He's not wrong. Like, you know, I'm like, really? We're talking about this again?
And so that's funny. But yeah, and I wanted to bring it to attention because Don's example was from Hillsborough County. My example was from Sarasota County. So we're not talking about like Alabama or Montana. Well, it's like right here. Right here.
Backyard. You know, what's the difference?
And so,
what's the difference between Alabama, you know, Montana, and Florida?
Well,
you still have folks with old fashioned, really old fashioned, and outdated, and obsolete thinking that they're still trying to inject that backward thinking into 2019, 2020, 2025. We're going to be talking about the same thing,
but. Yeah, but they don't realize, you know, they think the way that they think. We're not really here to diss anybody the way you think. You are the experience that you've had in your life. At the same time, please open your mind a little bit. Some of this stuff that we grew up with is not okay.
things change. They you need to have the ability to recognize, hey, you know what? Maybe it wasn't okay to have slaves back in the day. Mm-hmm. But now, you know, let's move beyond that. Let's move together. Let's realize that we have more in common than we do in
so
difference.
Much.
Yeah. And the thing is, I know we're about to switch gears, so I'll say this so we can move on. But, you know, while you guys were talking and I was listening to it on the radio, it really sounded stupid. Not you guys, but the topic.
Thank you. Thank you for the clarification.
Yeah, but not the topic. You know, the topic.
And he looks right at Doug.
I told you.
Right?
I'm so
confused.
Hey, don't treat our guests that way.
No. So the thing is, I mean, the topic is really stupid. But, you know, and I'm thinking, how do you address something that's really stupid and you have stupid laws on the books?
Yeah.
Right? So, like, in certain states, it's illegal to have intimacy, intercourse with your partner in positions other than missionary. It's still on the books. So let's introduce one of these stupid laws and say that if you have like if you're expressing yourself by putting a noose on a tree, that's a hate crime. Because you are not this is not Halloween, right? It's you know exactly what you're doing. It's a direct reference to the hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of slaves that were killed in this country indiscriminately. And by that noose is a direct reference to that era. So when you put a noose on your tree, and I don't care if you put a cat on it, if you put a pumpkin on it, that is a direct reference to that time period, and that's a hate crime, and you should be convicted of it. Now, make that crime significant, you know, like make it a felony, right? Heck, Trump just signed a law making it a felony for you to mistreat an animal. Mm-hmm. So why not have, you know, a law like that in the books? And the thing is, people will say, you know what, that's messed up. But I guarantee you, they will watch their mouth. They will curtail their action because they don't want to
suffer that consequence. Suffer.
Exactly. And so if you're not going to educate someone, and if the person does not want to be educated, then you can then they have to be corrected. And that's what these laws are. You go to jail. It's a correctional institution, right? It's correctional.
No,
everything is correct.
No.
Hold on. It's correctional.
Prince, we got to go move on.
Yeah, it's correctional. So
breathe in, man.
All right. So Prince was obviously.
Sorry, man. It was a 15-minute drive in, man. I had a lot to say. My bad. Go ahead.
No, you're good. And so we're going to be moving on from topics. Again, we were talking about an incident that was posted on the Facebook page for a Hillsborough County Republican Party member, and something that happened in Sarasota with a candidate. But we're moving on to better and bigger things and,
right,
and more positive.
That
and so
bird.
I do want to, you know, happy Thanksgiving or belated Thanksgiving to all of our listeners out there. And I just want to kind of toss this out to the crew here. Again, we got Big Eddie in the house. We got Don in the house, Coach Dong, DJ Grand Groove, Claire. All of you have had a lifetime of experiences around Thanksgiving, right? And so I'm going to toss it out to Coach Don first, because being from the Bahamas, right? So do you guys, how does it work down there to begin with?
There's no Thanksgiving.
That's what I thought, right?
So yeah, growing up, we would see, you know, we had American television, we had satellites, so we were able to watch the Macy's Day Parade and things like that. So we would see it, but we had to go to school. There was no holiday. So there was no turkey. There was, you know, hey, they're celebrating Thanksgiving in America. Dang, that looks good. I wish we had the week off. So we kind of just did that. Went to school, went home. My mom made fish or chicken or whatever in that. And that's what it was. It was, so we grew up just watching other people celebrate Thanksgiving.
What's the big holiday then in the Bahamas?
Christmas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Christmas was
for because of the birth of Jesus Christ or because of Santa Claus?
Ooh. That's a good question.
Good question. So, I'm going to put this is going to blow your mind.
There's a difference? There's a difference?
I grew up.
There's baby Jesus and then there's adult Jesus.
I grew up. I was, my mom's Catholic. Well, was Catholic. My dad was Jehovah's Witness.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Catholic
so
and Jehovah's Witness in the same house?
Man, there's stories I could tell you.
Wow.
So I'm going to go get into the
next
detail.
Episode on the Urban Cafe.
You know, so I grew up where my dad didn't care anything about Christmas. It was, you want what? You want a Christmas? We've never had a Christmas tree in my parents' house.
Wow.
Ever. No lights, no nothing. But I will say this, growing up Catholic, on my mom's side, my grandmother said, oh, y'all don't have to have the tree, but the tree will be at our house, and we'll have gifts at our house. So at my grandparents' house, I'm like, shoot, Dad, I'm going to go to grandma's house.
Yeah.
I'll see you when I get back. Like, you know, so we had, you know, Christmas dinner. You know, we would spend the night there. And my dad did kind of participate. He would basically give my mom, say, hey, go buy the kid something.
Gotcha.
So that's how we celebrate
it. That's fantastic. So what you're showing us with this story is the way that people make things work.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely can. So, like, you know, with Jehovah's Witnesses, they never really went into anyone else's churches. So, like, my grandmother, my aunts and uncles are the Jehovah's Witness. When my mom and dad got married, they went to the church, but they stayed on the outside.
Wow.
They never went in.
Okay.
So they waited, and, like, all of pictures, everything was done outside.
A compromise.
Yeah, so they compromised. Good. I mean, it was good. I mean, and to this day, both sides get along.
Wow.
I mean,
that's what's up.
We all share, and even though, you know, they don't celebrate birthdays and all, you know, all those things, but, you know, I appreciate all of that, because now, you know, with me having kids, I kind of take the best of both worlds.
Mm-hmm.
And I know what to, you know, I don't make Christmas about gifts for my kids.
And this is Coach Don talking about his experience in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
And it's pretty fascinating.
So it was a great experience, man. I loved it. It was, you know, it was eye-opening watching both sides, you know, maneuver through the nuances of trying to respect each other's religions and, you know, their ideals and what they believed in.
That's great. And so I'm looking here, and we got people from New York, people from Cali, people from Bahamas, people from Puerto Rico. And so I want to go shoot the question.
Can I, real quick, before you do that, real shot, because I got my Bahamian family that they actually came in.
Yeah.
So I will tell you, they flew in for Black Friday to go shopping. And I know my aunts are listening right now. My mom is listening right now. Shout out to my mama.
Hey,
and my
aunts. Shout out to Don's family.
Yeah, they're listening, but they did come up for the shopping, the deals, and they're doing it.
Good for them. And so, and I want to talk about consumerism in a little bit too, right? And how the holidays have changed as it relates to that. You know, like I mentioned, Jesus Christ versus Santa, right? But the same thing for Thanksgiving versus Black Friday. Yeah. So, but I want to toss it out to Big Eddie here. So you grew up in LA.
Yes, sir.
So how do you guys celebrate Thanksgiving out there? How did your family do it in LA? We're in LA specifically, because LA is huge. Where'd you grow up?
I don't want to say simplify, but I actually grew up in the same neighborhood as Nipsey Hussle.
Oh.
The Hyde Park neighborhood, Crenshaw and Slauson. I went to Crenshaw High School.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So, yeah, I grew up right in the epicenter of Hyde Park, the Crenshaw district. So,
wow.
I was pretty much there. Stuff was burning down around me during the 92 riots.
Wow.
Boys in the Hood.
There you go.
Boys in the Hood.
Right by my house,
wow.
too. There you go.
You know what's crazy? So, like, I grew up in San Juan, Puerto Rico, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, from elementary school to high school, I knew about Crenshaw in San Juan, Puerto Rico, complete opposite side of the country. I knew about Crenshaw. I didn't just know LA. I knew there was an area called Crenshaw in LA.
Word
right?
of mouth, baby.
Yeah, it's insane, right?
I grew up right on Crenshaw Boulevard, baby.
Wow. And so how did you guys do it during Thanksgiving there?
Well, when I was younger, when I was little, like pre-10 and whatnot, we used to go to my cousin's house, my aunt's oldest sons, and we used to go there. We actually went there for Christmas more often than not, but usually for Thanksgiving, we went to my aunt's house, and a lot of people would come over. We'd have a big dinner, you know, hang out, that type of deal. But then when I got into my prepubescent years, so to speak, word of the day.
This guy is like on it, man. Like what was the term?
Pre-ten
and all that. Yeah,
we get the sociological experiment over here.
Around junior high, we kind of like splintered off. We kind of started going to each other's house. So about junior high or so, when it came to Thanksgiving, it was just myself and my mom's. We would probably go visit my aunt. But my mom's would hook up some turkey wings, some stuffing, mac and cheese, potatoes, stuff like that. It was just the two of us, and it was pretty much like that until she died back in 08.
Okay.
So, yeah, it was just pretty much me and her for, what, 14, 15 years strong.
Okay.
And then the year she died before Thanksgiving. I went to one of my friend's house. We had a get-together, and it was kind of a different experience, and they're Belizean. So they kind of did the tradition, like, you know, everybody say
Belizean?
What they were thankful for. Yeah, Belize.
What's that?
Belize.
Oh, from Belize. Yeah. Got it. Sorry.
Yeah, my fault.
No. I shouldn't have known that. Sorry.
No, it's all good, man.
For our listeners out there, you know, Belize is a country in South America.
You're helping us expand our vocabulary.
Central America. Central America. Sorry.
No, you good, bro. So, they did
Mexico, Guatemala, Mexico.
No, it's all good. So they did the traditional go around the table, say what you're thankful for and whatnot. So that was kind of new to me, but, you know, I participated in
it. So they, as Belize, did Thanksgiving.
Yes, but they don't do turkey. They do chicken.
Interesting. Okay.
Now, my best friend that invited me over, he loved my mom's turkey wings, so he was the only one in his family that liked turkey.
Okay.
But his mom's hooked up chicken and whatnot, you know, a whole chicken and what have you. So.
Okay. All right. Well, that's fascinating.
Is anyone else hungry right now?
I'm getting there.
I just want to say I was offered alligator on Thanksgiving, and I didn't go for it because I figured it tasted like chicken, and I've already had turkey, so.
Do not sleep on gator, I'm telling you.
This past Thanksgiving you were offered?
Sometime recently I was offered gator, and I was like, I'm not sure if I'm ready for that yet.
And so I'm going to toss it out to our guest co-host here, Don.
Philly native.
And other than cream cheese, what else did you have on turkey?
You know, honestly, like most of my family's from Virginia.
Okay, gotcha.
So when I was
North or South Virginia?
South Virginia.
Oh, okay.
Norfolk, Virginia. Norfolk, Virginia Beach.
Norfolk, yeah. That's a beautiful area.
So, yeah, it's real nice down there. So when I was a kid, most of the time we would go to my grandmother's house for Thanksgiving. So it wasn't until my grandparents had passed that we started having Thanksgiving in the Philadelphia area. But no, we don't put cream cheese on turkey.
That sounds, that
sounds so bad. I just offend every Philadelphian there?
It's like there's so much more to Philly than just cream cheese and cheese sticks. You know what I mean?
There's Allen Iverson.
There's Rocky.
He doesn't play there anymore.
Yo, there's that statue of Trump in Philadelphia.
What?
That's not a statue. That's Rocky Balboa.
with Trump's head on.
That's just a picture.
I know, but hey, have it his way, you know, he'll put his head on that.
So what DJ Grant Groove is referencing there is probably the best presidential tweet of all time, and it was a picture of Trump's head over Rocky Balboa from, I believe, Rocky 3, and it didn't have any comments. There was no... We didn't know why he was posting this photoshopped image of Rocky, of his head over Rocky's body.
He just woke up. He just woke up one morning. He was like, you know what? This is how I'm feeling.
Yeah.
I was just about to ask that. Do you think that's exactly what he thinks of himself?
Like, yes.
He really thinks?
Yes.
I am.
Dude, just like, remember the Dave Chappelle episode where he said, this is how I feel inside. You know, that was Trump.
So. Sorry for the sideshow there. It was an amazing tweet. If you haven't seen it, you should go Google the image. It's amazing. Definitely. And what's crazy is every tweet this gentleman does will be in the presidential library because it's a presidential record. And so,
All its glory.
In all its glory. So let's get back to Don and Thanksgiving in Philadelphia. So how does that work?
Let me say this. I think the most important thing for me for Thanksgiving is who makes the macaroni and cheese.
Mm.
Okay. Like, everybody can cook a turkey. Everybody, you know, some people want to deep fry it, jerk turkey, whatever. To me, it's all about the sides. If your side dishes are messed up, the whole Thanksgiving dinner is...
Real talk.
Shot, you know? So, and when I say macaroni and cheese, it has to be really homemade macaroni and cheese. Not
Kraft.
Not Kraft, and you made it at home.
Did you guys bake it, or did you do that little soupy thing? I hate that soupy macaroni.
What do you mean soupy thing?
Like, you kind of take it up with a spoon and eat.
Like a strainer.
If it looks like that, it's not all the way cooked.
No.
If it looks like that, you're not invited.
I'm used to the baked macaroni.
Oh, yeah, it's baked. Yes.
And I just want to shout out to our listeners again. You're listening to the Urban Cafe on WMNF 88.5.
I got a question for the listeners. Okay, so like call us and tell us what your different side dishes that you have in your family. That'd be kind of interesting to hear that because my family had every single side dish this year. My son and his new girl, their lovely couple, first Thanksgiving. They put the turkey in at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. We ate at 7.
Oh, wow.
Novice. I love them, but I ate all the appetizers before I had my turkey.
Trial and error.
And then we had, I think, at least seven or eight side dishes. So let's hear what you got out there.
Hold on.
And you can call us at 813-239-9663. Please tell us. That's a great question, Claire. What are the side dishes? I do want to get back to the mac and cheese. So here's a question, right? So
you're going to just slide over the point.
It's important. The mac and cheese is important.
No, because at our Thanksgiving, they had manchego cheese and three different fine cheeses, right?
It's layered and it's baked.
Yeah, so what kind of cheeses would you guys do?
I can't reveal my mother's secret. I will not do that.
That's good.
Mama Don, he has your back.
I am not...
Well, let me ask everybody here a question, including you, Dom. Do you guys prefer your mac and cheese? When I say mac and cheese, real mac and cheese, your baked mac and cheese, do you prefer it with or without egg? Because when I came up, when my mom used to do it, when she told me how real mac and cheese was.
Like mixed into it?
Yeah, it's egg in it. You know, you cook the pasta, you put egg in it, but then the cheese makes the top layer crust.
Can I be the first one?
He's revealing secrets.
See, that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to sneak in and get me to reveal the recipe. Right.
Are there eggs in the recipe or are there no eggs in the recipe?
Yeah. He's like, yo, we're trying to protect the whistleblower here.
I'm going to... Growing up, my grandmother makes the best macaroni ever. I mean, on the planet Earth. The best.
Sounds like a challenge.
The kids were never allowed in the kitchen.
But so they couldn't know the secret?
So I know nothing about what's in the... My aunts know. They knew, but...
Yeah. Oh, girl to girl.
So, Josh and everyone here at the table, I just want to bring up one other thing, too. In recent times with Thanksgiving, it's always been about turkey and the side dishes. But what I'm experiencing maybe for the past 5 years is vegetarian options during That's Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. So sometimes there'll be a big, I guess, is it red tuna?
Okay.
So they'll serve red tuna. My sister's husband's mom, she makes fish meatballs.
Nice.
That she serves during Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. So those are just
some other... pescatarian options.
Correct. Okay. Yes, but some that are not, you know, for people who don't want to eat turkey, there's other options and they can still celebrate as part of the family and still... eat the macaroni and cheese.
And I think that's a great acknowledgement, right? The change of society to more to these other options. There's even tofurkey and other things like that.
That's not a real thing.
Which isn't it's not that bad actually. I've had it. It's not that bad.
A lot of spices in that. I just want to say if you're going to do a turkey, put it in early.
That's what I want to go back to. Claire just threw her son underneath the bus on air.
Hey. He throws me under the bus all the time.
That's the whole mother-son dynamic.
I'm raising it. Oh, we got a caller. Come on. We're challenging you. Yeah, don't give out your mother's recipes, though.
No,
a thing.
All
don't
right,
do
so
that.
Let's get to our caller.
Claire.
Good morning, caller. You are calling the Urban Cafe. What is your name and where are you calling us from?
Yeah, my name is Daryl, and I'm calling from Tampa.
Hey, Daryl. How you doing, buddy?
Good morning.
I'm doing good. I want to interject something. I don't know. I'm kind of late calling. I don't know if y'all talked about it, but I've always been fascinated about people talking about cranberry sauce.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We haven't even got there yet. Yeah, let's do it. Let's
open
it.
That's like the mac and cheese.
How do you make real cranberry sauce? And I heard that real cranberries, if you take the cranberry juice, it's really bitter.
It is bitter.
Or you can sweeten it up, though.
Cranberry sauce. That's my question of the day.
Big Eddie rose his hand immediately, so let's listen here.
All right, so this is my first year actually having homemade cranberry sauce. My wife hooked it up because we're kind of on a healthy kick. Short, just real quick, I lost like 50 pounds over the last 6 months. So your boy hasn't been eating any kind of macaroni and cheese.
Coming over your crib.
Yeah, because he's got plenty of macaroni and cheese.
But yeah, I don't want to give away, and sorry, babe, if I'm giving away your secrets, but she used real cranberries, 100% cranberry juice, and clear gelatin.
So did you remove the seeds? Like, what'd you do?
No, I think blended it. She didn't put the seeds or anything. She put it in her food processor with the cranberry juice and blended it in. I didn't see exactly how she did it, but I know she used clear gelatin to make, you know, kind of like a mixture of whole berry and jelly cranberry sauce, and it came out really good.
So what you're saying is cranberry doesn't come in the can?
Yes. For 20 years of my life, that's how cranberry was.
I just saw it in the can.
Yes. That's what we're telling you, Coach Don. Cranberry sauce does not come in a can.
Let's, Daryl, what do you have any cranberry recipes, or do you always do the can like I did for years?
Well, we always did the can. But let me say something real quick, and I'm going to get off the air. For folk who, why do you still persist in cooking chitlins and pig feet? It's like, come on.
It's tradition, isn't it?
Not for everybody.
Not anymore.
That used to be a New Year's thing.
Oh, please. Y'all have a good happy holiday.
You have a wonderful holiday. Thank you for calling in, please.
So Claire wanted to say something, and we're going to get to another caller here.
I wanted to say, in regard to making fresh cranberry sauce, you can sweeten it up. Not only, I mean, you can use sugar, but you can use carrots. Carrots are a way to neutralize acidic acids in tomato sauce. When you're making marinara, you can put some carrots in there. You can cook them like a whole carrot, and it'll come out, and you can eat that. Carrot's delicious.
But
it also neutralizes the acidic acid, and it makes it sweeter. And you can do the same thing with cranberry. I don't know if you've ever seen the cranberry jelly where it's got like little pieces of carrot in it.
Yes, I have.
That's to sweeten it up.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Well, there you go. Little tidbits from Claire.
Chef Claire.
As she waits at 1 o'clock in the afternoon for the turkey to be in there.
And so the next day on Thanksgiving, I had to fast all day because I ate too much.
So we got callers are really starting to call in again. Don't throw your mama's recipe out there on the air. So good morning. This is Joshua. You're calling the Urban Cafe. What is your name and where you're calling us from?
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, great. Leslie, I'm sorry, I was waiting a little while to know. Leslie, I'm from Tampa.
Hey, Leslie.
Hey, Leslie.
Hey, hi, guys. Just have an easy recipe for cranberry sauce. Maybe not as healthy as the other ones because you do add sugar, but it's actually right on the package. If you just buy a pack of whole cranberries, the directions are on there, but you just boil some sugar in the water and throw in the cranberries. Let it sit for a few minutes, and that's it. Stick it in the fridge. It's so easy. It's the easiest thing on on Thanksgiving.
And the calories don't matter because it's Thanksgiving, right? So
it doesn't count.
That day anyway, right? Well, I'm very calm. Just thought I would
We're so
that.
Glad you called. Please keep listening and keep calling in.
Thank you, Leslie.
Oh, I sure will. Thank you.
You have a great holiday. All right, and we do have another caller here. Let's see. Again, don't put your mama's recipe out there. You're calling the Urban Cafe. What is your name and where are you calling us from? Can you hear us? You're on the air, sir.
He's driving.
Or ma'am.
He's driving.
Yep.
Roll up the windows.
Roll up the windows. You're on the air. All right, I'm going
to...
I'll have them call back. Caller, please call us back. You had the windows down. And so let's talk a little bit about what Larry's last comments before you dropped off was about chitlins and pig feet, right?
Yeah.
So
disgusting.
Is that part of Thanksgiving for any families here? Or I don't know much about that.
There's a history behind, you know.
I would say that there's definitely a history behind it. But yeah. I would also say,
but as it relates to Thanksgiving,
no, not in my family anyway.
Yeah,
because my family's from the South. Yes.
Okay.
But I also think because it's an older generational thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like my brothers, you know, my brothers and sisters, we're not looking for chitlins and pig feet. My dad.
He was.
And his brother and sister, they're still looking for pigs.
So, and just for our listeners out there, again, this is Joshua. So we've talked about the historical perspective, and I don't want to go down the rabbit hole, but who can succinctly and briefly talk about the history of why pig feet and chitlins is a big thing in the culture?
That was all you had to eat.
You know, during slave times, that was leftover.
We had the leftovers.
That was so, like the sausage of, you know, of the meal.
Believe it or not, there's a lot of Americans that don't even realize that's why it's been part of the culture.
It's not a part of the history.
Yeah.
Unless you know the history.
I remember as a kid, this is Coach Don, by the way, growing up, we did eat pig's feet, but I've never seen anyone eat like the chitterlings, which is the intestines of the pig. I've never encountered that, but we did eat pig's feet.
Not only that, Josh, but in some cultures, eating chitlins and black-eyed peas is something that you do for New Year's Day.
Yeah. Correct.
Okay. Yeah. So it's a historical tradition. Mm-hmm. Now I don't necessarily know. For more like Christmas and Thanksgiving, it's more like a side dish, your cranberry or your mac and cheese. But for New Year's, that's what you eat.
Yeah, I do know. I am aware about the black eyed peas.
And same thing to what Don was just saying. My mom's told me, like growing up, that my family, like my aunt and whatnot, they used to cook chitlins for New Year's and whatnot. Now I don't remember. She said that I had it when I was little. I don't remember. But I don't know about the pig's feet, but definitely my family used to do chitlins for New Year's.
Okay. And so I want to jump here to Claire. Claire, what was big in your family growing up for Thanksgiving?
Oh, geez.
You're in New York at this time.
I'm in New York, and I had a family. We did a formal Thanksgiving. I had to set the table with all the forks, all the spoons, all the glass for water, glass for whatever else you're drinking, all the plates. And we had, I remember my favorite was the green beans with the cream of mushroom and the,
green bean casserole.
Yeah. Green bean casserole is one of my faves. Mashed potatoes. I had to peel the turnips. Yeah. We ate a lot of turnips are pretty good. Actually. I
never had
developed
it.
I developed a appreciation for turnips. I'm sure they have some good nutritional value. I don't know what that would be. But
so we just had five other people in the studio just shake their heads. And they didn't do turnips.
Turnips? I love turnips.
Claire, what do you make? Awesome. What type of side dish do you make with turnips? Is it just turnips?
No, turnips. Turnips. You see them in the store. They even have them covered in wax. Like I used to peel them and then cut them into cubes, and then we boil them, and then you add salt and pepper and butter, and that's it.
So just the turnip.
Oh, they taste delicious.
I could not even tell you what a turnip smells.
I love that taste.
Turnip greens, maybe, but
I hadn't had turnip greens till I got an adult. I'm trying to think what else. It was just everything: mashed potatoes, turnips, green beans. We ate half of a grapefruit before we ate anything.
Every day?
No, for Thanksgiving dinner. It was to help with digestion.
Oh.
Makes sense.
You eat that first, and then you dive into the meal.
Fascinating. Yeah. Okay. It's DJ Grand Groove. Before we get to you, we do have a caller. Let's get to the caller real quick. And then we're going to ask DJ Grand Groove, and then I have a couple things too. And so, good morning, caller. You're calling the Urban Cafe. What is your name and where you're calling us from?
From Trinity.
What was your name again? We missed that. Sorry.
Rex, R-E-X.
What's up, Rex? Rex and Effects from Trinity.
I love the show.
Awesome.
Thank you for calling.
You guys completely left out one of the best things.
Here we go.
The stuff. The greens.
The greens.
Collard greens. Got it.
Rex.
With bacon fat or not? No bacon fat?
Doesn't matter.
No, they got to be cut up.
Cut up, and what do you and your family do? Like, how do you put them together?
You just gotta cook them. Throw some smoked meat in there. And what about the dressing?
That's
crucial.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
that's, you know,
stuffing.
Turkey. We do oxtails.
Are you from the Caribbean?
My man.
No. Yeah.
You're not from the Caribbean?
No.
But you do oxtail. Interesting. Okay. Okay. And so, and did you do turkey at all? Do you Americanize it a little bit?
Well, when I was growing up, we did turkey.
Okay. But now you're oxtail.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting. Interesting.
So next Thanksgiving, we're at Rex's house.
I'm saying.
All right.
All right.
We'll be broadcasting from the backyard. All right, Rex?
Okay.
Did you deep fry the turkey, Rex, or you bake the turkey?
My mother used to bake the turkey.
Bake it. Okay. Yeah. I just got into deep frying turkey about 3 years ago, and I don't ever want another baked turkey in my life.
Wow.
I want it deep fried.
Nice.
Every time.
I hope that's good for your cholesterol.
Yeah,
it is good.
It is good. Rex is saying it's good. Oh, Rex, thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate it. You have a great holidays with your family.
All right. You guys have a blessed holiday.
All right. And we're getting caller after caller here, so let's jump to the next caller here real quick. And DJ Grand Groove, we'll get to you in a second. Sorry. Caller, good morning. What is your name and where are you calling us from?
Good morning. It's Clay from Land
O'Lakes. Uh-oh.
I see you got Chef Eddie in the house.
Yeah.
Hey, what up, Clay?
What's up, man?
Listen, so you talked about chitlins, and that's why I called. Uh-oh. First off, chitlins, and it wasn't just chitlins. It's that back in the day, especially for poorer people, white ones and black ones as well, you had to use everything. When you slaughtered your pig, there wasn't nothing you throw away. You found a way to use everything, and that's where chitlins came from. And chitlins, of course, is a difficult thing to make. But at Tampa Catholic, I took home economics because I was good at it, not because it was just trying to get around it, you know, being a football player and all, throwing all that stuff. And one of the things we did was we cooked this fantastic dinner for the teachers and staff that we were had to do every year. And when I was there, I convinced my group that we would cook chitlins. That's what we cooked for them. Chitlins in college.
How did that go over in Tampa Catholic?
Here's what the problem is. If you know anything about cooking chitlins, the first thing you have to do is boil all the excrement out of the...
Yeah, I just lost my appetite.
Just chase everyone out the room.
And the thing about it is when we did it, it made the whole school stink for like 2 days. Yeah.
You need proper ventilation when handling that stuff.
But we did it. We did it really great. We had collard greens and all that with smoked ham in it, and you know, it was really a great meal. But and we didn't exactly tell them what it was until they started.
What did at TCU, our Tampa Catholic, are there nuns too and priests, right? I take it.
Yeah.
And how do they take the chitlins?
When I went there, we had a convent was still there on site.
Okay.
I don't know if the convent's still there or not. We had a convent, so we had nurses. We had
nuns. Nuns.
Actually, nuns. Yeah, but they didn't wear their habits. They didn't have to. Some of them chose to, but they could dress as regular people.
And how did they take the chitlins?
They all ate it, and then they had to admit it was good because it was good. You know, but it's a lot of preparation making chitlins. They are really good, but you know, it's people getting their mind about where it comes from. But you have to realize, like I said, people who were poor used everything.
Yeah.
You know, they were very efficient, and that's where you got chitlins from. Testicles, yeah. Well.
Wish we could show Don's
from the rooter to the tutor.
So Clay, Coach Don's face was just priceless right now when you said that.
My headset was out. What?
Yes.
I wanted to say one other thing. You know, when you're talking about Facebook before, do you know who Tom Hartman is?
No.
Tom Hartman has a 3-hour radio show that broadcasts, and WNF played the first hour of his broadcast on Monday when Sean wasn't here, and I think on Friday when Janelle wasn't here.
Okay.
At the same time. And one of the things he talked about with Facebook, besides Zuckerman and all that stuff, is he had a Facebook page that they took down, and his was only for family and friends. But they took down his Facebook page because of who he is.
Interesting.
And his radio show. So I wouldn't say it's left-wing. I'd say a progressive radio show in which, you know, he goes through that whole process of exposing things, having some very great guests and all that stuff. It was a great show, but it was interesting that he talked about Facebook and how you know they use their power as Facebook indiscriminately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
there was nothing on their Facebook page would be that. It was just for friends and family. It didn't make it public, and there were no public people, you know, befriending them or any of that kind of stuff. they took his page down.
So. Okay. Well, Clay, thank you so much. We gotta jump to break and then continue on.
Clay, real quick, you're the man. We appreciate every time you call because you drop some nice jewels.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, man. We appreciate it. And so that was Clay from Land of Lakes. He's a longtime caller, a longtime listener. We really appreciate it. And so let's go ahead and jump to our second break of the morning.